Hello everyone, this is Tim. Welcome to North and South Podcasts. This is a well-being podcast with just me speaking. Just want to say one thing. A few podcasts ago, I don't know what order I'm going to release these in, but I mentioned Russell Brand and spoke about how he'd gone really weird by his move towards the alt-right and some of the opinions he was now sharing. And literally once I'd recorded that podcast, a few days later all these revelations and accusations came out. So when I was referring to Russell Brand in that podcast, I didn't know about those allegations. I was just referring to his kind of new political opinions. So I just wanted to make that clear. Also, I just want to say thank you so much for all the people who have subscribed on YouTube and on all the socials, and the people who are following me on Spotify. It makes a huge difference in terms of getting better equipment and taking this project forward into the future. As you know, I've got certain themes: well-being, history, politics, and I'm looking at trying to get involved in more community stuff, such as improving the community, etc. So there's some interesting things developing there, which I'll keep you informed about. But I do appreciate all the comments and the feedback. Again, I've had a request for a podcast about the impact of loneliness, particularly with men who sometimes struggle to mix and don't find as much time to mix, or find it as easy to mix as, say, women might. But that's an interesting thing which I'd look to come back to in the future as well. But please like, share with at least one person, subscribe, and if you can, support financially for the cost of a cup of coffee once a month. And if you do that, it just makes a big difference for this moving forward. And if you want to get involved in any way, please do. And I'm looking to go down the route of video podcasting at some point. If you go to technology, if you're interested in social issues, I've had a few people express an interest in getting involved in podcasts and different types of podcasts relating to well-being, community development, etc. Please do get in touch through X, as it's now called, or Twitter, as I call it. And if you know me, contact directly. Right, today I'm going to talk about Stoicism again, which is an ancient Greek Roman philosophy to do with living the good life and using wisdom in day-to-day life. It's about not letting the extremes of emotion get in the way of life, to make sure that you are prepare to live the best life. And as someone who can get a little bit overly emotional, I'm finding this really useful. So I listen to, as I've said in an earlier podcast, check out the work of Ryan Halliday, check out the work of the Stoic Coffee Break podcast if you want to get into Stoicism. I've read and listened to stuff about Stoicism. It's common sense stuff that isn't always common practice, and I just find it really, really useful to use it in my day-to-day life. And I don't always get there, but I'd like to think I can reflect on things and get better day by day. And what greater work is there than that, to get better every day in this short life? So Stoicism is the application of wisdom today for day-to-day life. I would call it keeping calm and carrying on, to borrow that famous poster that wasn't used in World War II by the British government, but has become quite famous since then. And you might say it's about living the good life, and the Stoics and Aristotle, who was also associated with the pursuit of the good life, are quite big at looking at these kind of things. I'm interested in what Aristotle said about being... living a good life is about being involved in the politics of the polis, which in his eyes meant the city-state, and in my eyes is the local community, while recognising that we live in global communities. Increasingly, your locality is what you see first, and it's about trying to sort that out as well as possible. and having good models that we can share around the world in these globalised times. And I'm not saying globalisation is perfect, far from it, but I think it's important that we show an interest in what's going on around us. Once we've worked on ourselves, we can work with others to improve our communities. But anyway, without being too abstract, I'm interested in the concept of the inner citadel. And I'm reading a book at the moment about the Hundred Years' War and some of the practices of medieval warfare, which were quite crazy, where, you know, if you agreed to surrender, then you would allow the people inside a castle or a walled town to leave with some property or leave with their lives and not touch them. And if you took the castle by storm, by getting in there, which meant that you lost people trying to get in, if no surrender had been agreed, by the time you went in, you were angry and they basically just did whatever they wanted with the inhabitants and their property. And the rules of medieval warfare and this idea of chivalry, very strange. And one of the things I've found from reading about the Hundred Years' War is, I mean, I kind of knew this anyway, but it's interesting to read it in practice in these books by Jonathan Sumption, which I've been reading about the Hundred Years' War. When a castle or a walled town was taken by storm, often the soldiers, the garrison, would retreat to the inner citadel or the keep, that ultimate like central part, which was very, very well protected, and there would be all kinds of food and water in there to keep you going for like many months. Hopefully you would be relieved by an army coming to relieve you. But this idea and concept of the inner citadel, that regardless of what's going on in the world, and this is something I read in Ryan Holiday's work, retreat to that inner citadel and dwell there. When the world is crazy and when you can feel emotions within you and when you can feel things getting carried away, try to keep calm, try to be stoic, to not get upset, to retreat inside and then think, what do you do next? Now, an inner citadel basically means a part of you inside that doesn't get hurt or damaged by external events. We don't want things to be upsetting us and damaging us day in, day out, because that eats away at you. And if you've got this like sacred space inside you, this inner citadel where you can retreat in times of crisis, to stay calm, to protect yourself, that's an important concept in Stoicism. And I just happened to read that while I was reading this book on the Hundred Years' War, and I was interested in this like really safe place within, where you can go when all else fails. And I think that's an important concept to have with you each and every day. Also to be aware that, like, you know, your car might break down and you might get ill and something really bad might happen. And if those things do happen, try to deal with those things calmly. Stay centered, stay equanimous. I've done a podcast on equanimity and staying calm. And just don't get upset. Think about your values, what you want to do. What are the steps you need to take to move forward from that situation? What do you need to do to make that situation better? And I remember John Kabat-Zinn in an interview, he was considered as the person who brought mindfulness to the United States. And he said that you can have someone on the deathbed, but if they're still alive, there's work there to do with them. There's progress that can be made. And regardless of the situation in your life, and again, this is going back to Carl Rogers' work in psychology, etc. What can you do to make your life better in the short term? What's the step you can take, the easy step you can take now, or the difficult step sometimes to make the situation better? The external world can be crazy. And I've read very interesting work by Frankl, who wrote a great book, Man's Search for Meaning, about his experience of surviving the Holocaust. And I've mentioned this before. Primo Levi, how he managed to survive Auschwitz. And I read an article with a man who was in a South American prison for a crime he didn't do. And he said, like, you couldn't believe what it was like in there. But I knew I needed to keep that inner citadel within me. I needed to stay alive, stay centered, and get through it. day by day, moment by moment. And Levi and Frankl mention that in their books about that survival that you need to do each day, those steps you need to take to get through difficult times and to keep it together. Very inspirational writers. And I can't remember the gentleman's name who was in a prison, but I remember reading that article that you can always, you've always got the power to interpret your predicament the way you interpret it. I read another great book not long ago about a gentleman who was in prison for many years and found Buddhism and meditated for hours in a cell and helped him to cope with a, you know, a potential death penalty hanging over him, and how powerful that was. And I see stoicism and I see incredible things in people every day, and it's a real gift to be able to ride the waves and get through things and stay calm, just for longevity as well as quality of life. One of the other big things about stoicism is the idea of just never, ever, ever, ever giving up, as Churchill said during World War II. Never give up. There's always hope. There's always a chance that things can get better, even on your deathbed, as John Kabat-Zinn said. And often you get a lot of people who, when they hear other people talking like this, they say, oh yeah, but what if, like, you know, you lose your job or your house burns down or you live in a country where people can't get on and there's no way that people can better themselves and all that. And I take all that on board, but those important lessons that you need to learn, that important work that you need to do, you will get external things that affect you, and you need to work on yourself so that you can manage those externalities and then decide on possibly collective action to improve them with others. But these things are important. I've done a podcast before on the 24-48-hour rule, and a few weeks ago, two things happened in my life that really upset me. And within 24-48 hours, I'd largely dealt with them mentally. I'd processed them and I'd moved on and I'd learned from them. And I did that partly by journaling about them, which is another story. I'm not going to go into journaling here. But you can process things as they're happening and write about them and think about possible solutions, or even just to write about them without thinking of a solution. It helps you to process them. And that 24-48-hour rule, emotions can really upset our balance. And if you can get to 24-48 hours and then look at a situation, you'd obviously look at things far more calmly, which again isn't something that you want to be doing if there's a lion in the woods. As I've said before, you need to get out of there quickly. If this lion's hunting and it's hunting for you, you need to get to safety. So just standing there for 24-48 hours isn't going to help in that situation. But the 24-48-hour rule can deal with a lot of problems. Something Sam Harris says on his Waking Up app, which is brilliant, by the way, for meditation and mindfulness, and also for lectures and talks with people who specialise in that and have got deep experience of that. He talks about the idea of just beginning again, that at any moment you could go, all right, I'm going to restart from now. And when you're calm, right, okay, I didn't deal with that very well, let's restart now, or whatever the situation might be. And it's almost like you can be reborn at any moment. And particularly people say, oh, sleep on it, and the next morning you've slept on it and you often feel a little bit better because you've processed it more. And at any point in your life, you can change and begin again. Doesn't mean it's easy to do that and you might have setbacks, but you can make that decision and you can be aware of that power to just begin again at any particular time. The art of mindfulness is about being able to step back, that kind of metacognition which I've spoken of before. What is going on? What is the situation? How are you thinking about the situation? Is that the best way to think? We're often very easy to say to others, what are you thinking like that for? That's ridiculous. When you often speak to yourself terribly. It's interesting that we struggle to be objective with our own thoughts. But the ability to step back and go, why am I thinking like that? What is the utility in that? Is that actually helping me, that particular style of thinking? Yeah, it was nice to be cautious and anxious in evolution, kept you alive, but Do I need to be like that all the time in my day-to-day living if it's making me miserable? No. And being able to step back into that inner citadel, as it were, to the eternal you, the part that's inside you, and go, what am I thinking right now? Is that helping the situation? And you might even start to use, as I've done with Paul Cope on the podcast with Paul Cope, you can give yourself names for your different sub-personalities and go, you're not really helping me today, or thanks for that negative thought, but you're not really helping me today. And you can even think it like, oh, that's an interesting opinion that negative mind has just expressed, but I'm not going to, that's not objective truth, so thanks for that opinion, but, you know, I'll bear that in mind, and then move on. And often we can gain more clarity by journaling or by speaking to others and seeking their opinions if you can as well. So what do we do when there's a bit of a crisis going on? Well, you can focus on five breaths, and you can know what you can see and experience with your five senses. And that often just helps you to retreat into that inner citadel to weigh things up. And I've used this story probably on more than one podcast, but Ulysses S. Grant in the American Civil War, if he was woken in the middle of the night because there was an attack on his camp or on his army in the middle of the night, he would get up and say, make me a coffee, sit at his table, wait for the coffee, listen to people, and then make a decision very calmly, because he knew a rushed decision was not always helpful. Even if it appeared there was a really existential crisis, it was better to stay calm and then to deal with it. And I just want you to think about that one thing, and you might even apply it now, because I've done it today with myself. I wasn't really feeling too chirpy this afternoon, and I was going to do a podcast, and I thought, do you want to do a podcast? And I thought, well, yeah, I've got an idea for one. Do you feel like doing it now? No. Do you want to do it tomorrow night, Monday night? Yeah, okay. And then he had me tea, I felt a bit better, and I thought, okay, maybe you could do some tomorrow night, and I've got some notes to do on another podcast and a few questions to do on another, you know, maybe you could do them tomorrow instead, now that I've done the podcast and I can edit it tomorrow. And sometimes you just need to have that little bit of flexibility and that little bit of mindfulness to just think, what's the next step I can take? Should I do it? Am I in the right frame of mind to do it? If not, when can I do it? Is there a timeline involved? Or a deadline that I need to adhere to or stick to? These are the little thoughts that we can sometimes think and that we sometimes neglect in this kind of stream of consciousness, of negativity that often surrounds us and stops us thinking clearly. So, do I practice all this every day, day to day, moment to moment? No, because it's the work of a lifetime. And since I've started studying this kind of stuff when I was 29 and 46 now, I feel like I'm a lot better at dealing with certain things. But then there's other things which you find really hard and you think, it's like I've made no progress there. That in itself is metacognition. That is in itself is wisdom. Because some things are easier for us than others, and some things are harder for us than other things. And for other people it might be different, but you are you. And that is metacognition, to appreciate your strengths and weaknesses and to see, how can I get better? What do I want? How can I get there? What simple steps can I take today to get there? As they said about Chairman Mao's famous journey of thousands of miles to take power in China, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Well, I might not agree with everything Mao did, I think he was right about that first step principle. Right, cheers everyone. Have a great day, week, month, year, life. Because we're not living in a rehearsal here. And cherish the moment and look around and just notice what's going on. And think calmly. And if you master that, please let me know, because I need to get there myself.